The man is a legend. There's no other way to put it, especially if you love the Golden State Warriors. Eric Sleepy Floyd, a one-time All-Star, but more importantly, he still holds the record for most points scored in a playoff half and quarter back in 1987, and his accomplishments helped stave off a sweep by the eventual world champion Los Angeles Lakers. He's Sleepy Floyd. He played for the Golden State Warriors. He's an awesome human being. I'm so excited he came on the show. We had to record with Zoom because of technical issues on his end. So doesn't have the normal look and feel as a Locked On show, but it doesn't matter. It's Sleepy Floyd. I love the man, and he joins me next. This is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am extremely excited to have Eric Sleepy Floyd on the show today. Sleepy, how are you doing?
Doing great. Thanks for asking.
Of course. So, you're in my opinion, you're a legend. For people who also watch or listen to the Rick Barry show, we had you on that program about a year or two ago. But you know, I've told people this before. One of my earliest memories in basketball is that infamous 87 playoff game against the Lakers, where you set the record for most points in a quarter and a half. I'll get into that in a second. But you know, again, I was a little kid and I was starting to get into the Warriors, and there you are. There's Chris Mullin, Joe Barry Carroll, Terry Teagle. And I fell in love with the sport of basketball, and I owe a lot of that to you. How did you get your start in basketball? Let's talk about your origins. Like, where are you from, and how did you eventually go on to play for the Georgetown Hoyas?
Right. I'm from Gastonia, North Carolina, which, you know, if you grew up in North Carolina as a young kid, a young boy or girl, that you were infatuated with the ACC, the Atlantic Coast Conference, which was so popular and so dominant still today, but even back when I was growing up. So we just grew up watching North Carolina, Duke, Clemson basketball, Wake Forest, and all the great ACC teams. And we thought the ACC was the only conference in the world, because that's all we saw. But anyway, growing up, playing in the playgrounds and the recreation centers, it was all about basketball. So if you wanted to be socially engage with your peers, you had to play sports, whether it be basketball, football, or baseball. And, you know, I grew up playing football as well, but really basketball attracted me. And I just fell in love with the game at a very young age, and started going to basketball camps in junior high, and started spending most of my days trying to implement what I learned at these basketball camps, even at a young age. Just fell in love with it, had that passion. I dreamt about it. I went to bed with a basketball every night. Before I had a basketball, I would ball up a notebook, sheets of notebook paper, and shoot it into the trash can. So that's how the affection I had for the game, even at a young age. Right. And then I went to Hunter Huss High School in Gastonia, North Carolina. One of my adversaries, James Worthy, is from Gastonia, North Carolina as well. He went to Ashbrook High School. So we always grew up competing against one another. I did get recruited by quite a few colleges, but I had one more visit to take when I was doing my college visits. And at the time, Georgetown had not hit the national scene at that time. It was more regional. So I took my last visit to D.C. to visit Georgetown, really based on because of my sister was going to Howard University, which is also based in Washington, D.C. So I'm like, I have this free trip to D.C. I like to go see my sister, catch up with her. And that was really that motivated me to take the visit to Georgetown. I had verbally committed to go to one of the schools in the ACC. And I had this last visit and I went up to Georgetown, met Coach Thompson, And he blew me away. He had this conversation while I was up there on my visit. And he said, are you going to be a man or a boy and make a decision now? Or are you going to wait to go home to be, you know, and make this decision? So at that time, you couldn't challenge me to anything. And I said, give me the papers. And I signed while I was up there.
On the wow.
Visit. Yes.
What school did you originally commit to?
Duke.
Really? Like, any regrets? I mean, I don't know how they were back then, but they're obviously a powerhouse in college basketball.
Yeah, they were very good at the time. Not like they are now. I think Krzyzewski took it to another level, obviously. I had Florida State recruiting me and University of Georgia and, you know, just schools all over. But growing up in North Carolina, your passion and your goals were to play in the ACC. But after meeting Coach Thompson, you know, he impacted me so much and made such an impression on me based on, you know, the conversations we were having and just his stature. And he was just a straight shooter. I mean, he said, I won't give you anything. You're going to have to earn everything you get. You're going to be expected to go to class and attend class and do well. And that was it. And it was a simple pitch. But he was very honest and straightforward. And I think that's what really intrigued me.
And your coach you're referring to is John Thompson, a legend in basketball circles. And you played with Patrick Ewing. Describe the one year you played where you went all the way to the championship game, but you lost by a single point. I've never watched the game, so this was before my time. But describe the feeling of getting that far and falling a point short. Does it haunt you? Is it just another game? Describe it, please.
Oh, to this day, it haunts me.
Crazy.
And it was a great situation. It was North Carolina versus Georgetown. You had two iconic coaches, Coach Smith, Dean Smith from North Carolina, and obviously John Thompson, and they had a history. He had coached under Dean Smith on the Olympic team, and they just had a beautiful relationship over the years. And then my homeboy, James Worthy, he was playing for Carolina. We had grew up playing against each other in junior high school, and AAU, and all those different levels of basketball. And here we are. Now, let me back up. We ended up playing, James Worthy and I ended up playing for the state championship of North Carolina, even though we were from the same county, because we ended up going to separate high schools. So we had beat them for the state championship in 1977-78 by 1 point on the last second shot. And so it was just, you know, amazing that here we are 4 years later meeting for the college national championship. And obviously we ended up losing that game. Michael Jordan lucked up and hit a shot at the end.
Yeah.
And history was made, but it was an amazing opportunity for two kids from Gastonia, North Carolina, to be playing in the national championship game, a game that we have watched since we've been young kids.
Yeah.
And so it was a tremendous experience. My whole 4 years at Georgetown was a tremendous experience, not only just from Coach Thompson, but just being at that school. Georgetown just offered so much on the academic level, also the cultural level of being in D.C., coming from a country town and from Gastonia, a 50,000 population, and being dropped right in the middle of D.C. in an area as exclusive as Georgetown. So it was really good. It impacted me moving forward. It helped me to maintain a level of integrity throughout my years in the NBA, just from the foundation that Coach Thompson laid while we were in college.
Absolutely. And that's incredible. So, and I do remember the game now, the moment you mentioned North Carolina, that Jordan shot is part of lore. It just never occurred to me until now that you were on the other side of that. But yes. So you and James, that's a fascinating history you and James Worthy have. So 2 points separated you two in the high school and college championships.
Yes.
High school state championship, you win by a point. He wins the college championship by a point. Do you two talk at all? Do you ever catch up and reminisce about how fascinating that is?
Oh, we should talk about it all the time. Years ago, we don't talk about it as much now. But, you know, obviously we grew up 5 minutes apart. So the school line went right in between our homes, where we always ended up going to separate junior highs and high school. So we grew up playing against one another throughout our whole lives, pretty much. And then for him to go to North Carolina and have such an amazing career, then for him to go to the Lakers, I end up with Golden State.
Yeah.
And when I end up having that great game against the Lakers again, so we were always going up against one another. So, you know, just that experience of coming through Gastonia, going to D.C., ending up out in San Francisco. I mean, I travel well. I mean, it's just been an amazing ride.
It is an amazing ride. Absolutely. Sleepy, I got to ask you, and maybe this is an interesting story. I guess it depends on the audience. It is to me. How did you and Magic Johnson are in a very select group where your nicknames pretty much have taken over your real first names? You know, like Magic is synonymous with Magic, even though his first name is Irvin. And then you, sir, everyone knows you as Sleepy. How did you get that nickname?
Playing baseball, believe it or not. When I was younger, my dad always wanted us to play all sports. And I really wasn't. Baseball was not my passion, but, you know, I played second base. It was in fourth grade. I'm playing second base. We had an 8:30 a.m. game. And would you know, the first pitch was hit directly to me and went right through my legs. I was looking down at the ground and someone in the stand said, "Get that freaking kid out the game. He's asleep." And my little teammates heard that and they never let me live it down. So believe it or not, that's how I got it, from playing baseball. And until this day, you know, it's just a part of who I am now.
Do you, like, did it bother you then? Does it bother you now? How do you embrace the nickname?
Oh, definitely. Think about a fourth grader being called Sleepy. I mean, I did not like that name at first. But, you know, because of the negative connotations it could have brought, you know, during that era and during that time. But it just stuck with me, and it came a part of my basketball life. And I have, you know, a lot of people don't even know my real name is Eric. You know, if I introduce myself as Eric, people are like, "Who is that?" So
that's incredible. In just a moment, I'm going to play a clip from one of your former adversaries, Michael Cooper, and that's going to lead into discussing, you know, a game that remains in lore. You still hold the record. And this is a record that, it's not like some random record that you really, these point totals, 29.25, 39.5, there's a reason why it stood the test of time and why it's been over 30 years and counting now that this record's still in play. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. I first have to give some love to a longtime sponsor of this program, Bet Online. Again, they've been sponsoring this program since I've started, and betonline.net is your number one source for football betting information this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sport wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. Sleepy, I got to ask you this. As a Northern California, North Carolina a native, who's your team? Is it the Carolina Panthers? Do you follow football?
Yeah, the Carolina Panthers. Matter of fact, I'm going to the game Sunday. I went to their opener, which we lost, but we have Baker Mayfield now. So everyone here in Charlotte is all excited that we finally got a quarterback, but we'll see how it pans out.
Absolutely.
But the Carolina Panthers, you know, we had Cam Newton for so long, and he was such an iconic player for this era and really for the NFL.
Yes,
so
sir.
He kind of set the standards very high here. So we'll see if Baker can live up to that.
I hear you. And that's also Stephen Curry's team. He loves the Carolina Panthers. But again, if you want to bet on it, just head to betonline.net or use your mobile device to learn more. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And we're joined by Eric Sleepy Floyd here on Locked On Warriors. I want to play this sound clip again. This is from an interview I did a year or two ago with again, your former adversary, your former opponent, Michael Cooper. When I brought this up, he was not very happy. I do need to emphasize that. It was obviously in a playful manner. But here's real quickly the clip of Michael Cooper talking about defending you the night you set the playoff record for most points in a quarter and a half.
Well, Cyrus, you know, it's funny you would bring that game up because that's my nightmare game. That's
really
the game that always haunts me. And that's the game that the basketball god taught us about respect for your opponent. You know, we were going through that, like you said, we were pretty good, and we got too full of ourselves. And there was some instances where myself, Byron Scott, Magic Johnson, and I'm very, very shameful to say this, but we were disrespecting Purvis Short, Sleepy Floyd, and instead of playing the game and showing respect to your opponent, we got disrespectful, and that's what happened. And when that blew up, that game changed my whole outlook on basketball as far as always having respect for your opponent. And I never, ever did that again. We didn't do anything ugly or vile, but it was just the way that we were handling them. We would look at them crazy. I can block Purvis Short and I turn and get in his face, which is a technical today, which I love that the NBA is doing. But things like that. And that's the one thing. And Pat Wright even said this. He said, you know what? It doesn't matter whether you're the top dog or you're the bottom dog. You always have respect for the fight that's in a dog. And we had lost that respect, and you know, we quickly got it back. Now, we went on to win that series, but again, that's a record that stands to this day. And for me personally, it's one, I hate it, but I love it because it really brought me back to the purest form of this game. Basketball is about respect. Life is about respect. You respect people, and we disrespect it. And Sleepy to this day, I can't walk by him and see him because he never says anything. He just gives you that look like, okay. And that's what I hate the most, that look. But that was a great game. And Cyrus, I'm mad at you for bringing that up, but I'm also mad because kids need to hear that.
All right. So your thoughts on Michael Cooper talking? I forgot about the part where he brought up that you guys run into each other and you give him a look. What are your thoughts on Cooper saying all that?
I thought that was great. Obviously they were an amazing team. I mean, they had the Hall of Famers on the team with Kareem and Magic and Byron Scott and James Worthy. And you know, they were a well-oiled machine. They were very well coached and they were hard to deal with. They got all the calls because they were the Lakers. So
right.
In order to beat the Lakers, you normally had to win by 10 or 12 points because you knew the referees were going to be leaning, which is only natural, towards the perceived better team. Not perceived, they were the better team. And but they were a little arrogant. Even the guys on the bench who never played were talking trash. Really, that's what got me going. I remember it wasn't that Byron or Cooper or any of those guys were trash talking us to the point. I just happened to look over the bench, and the guys who never get in the game, they were talking trash. So that really got me going. So, but the game is all about respect and, you know, respecting your opponent, but you challenge one another. And you know, that's how I played through high school and playing under Coach Thompson at Georgetown when we were the top dogs. Having that respect, but still, you know, it's a lot different now. You know, you could talk more trash back then. You could be more physical. And to me, it was more fun when it was more physical and you can talk trash without getting, you know, these heavy fines that they throw out now. So,
you know, what really stood out to me, I literally just yesterday decided to watch almost the entire game. You could see a lot of it on YouTube. They skip out the commercials and stuff. It's really great. And what stuck out to me more than anything, besides the fact that you were just a different person that night. I mean, for that second half, especially, you, every time you attacked the rim, you scored. It seemed like every time you put up a jump shot, it just fell in. It wasn't even hitting the rim. But you did it when it mattered most. I mean, you scored those 29 points in the fourth quarter. The 39 was in the second half. You were staving off a sweep and elimination. But you're losing most of that game. I mean, that fourth quarter, you single-handedly prevented the sweep, and you were just carrying your whole team. Describe in your words, just, I mean, I know you mentioned you saw the bench and that kind of lit a fire under you, but if you don't mind just expanding a little more, what was going through your mind in a moment like that? Because you seemed like a totally different person. It was almost like an alien took over you and you just were a beast. And I remember this from when I was like 8 years old watching this. I remember that. You were just an unstoppable player. What was going through your mind through all that?
Well, I just remember coming into the fourth quarter, we were down maybe about 13 or 14. Obviously, they was trash talking. And the fact that it was the last game and you know, being a point guard, you have to keep in mind that you run a team. You got to be conscious of the flow of the game. You got to keep Joe Barry and Purvis Short involved in the offense and just being a point guard. Mm-hmm. But I could always score, you know, whether I'm attacking the basket or shooting from the outside. So I just took it upon. I made up my mind that I'm going to attack the basket every time. They're going any of the guys could individually stop me,
right?
But my main responsibility was to run the team, and it wasn't like it is now where the three-point shot was the top priority in the offense. You had to run the play, get it inside out, and the Lakers played that way with Kareem. We played that way with Joe Barry Carroll. Mm-hmm. We ran a lot of our offense through the center. And that's the way the game was played. But at that point, with all the trash talking and the bench going crazy and the fact that it was an elimination game, I wasn't going to go down without a fight. I just wasn't brought up like that. So, you know, after I made one basket and then another one and another one, and the crowd got involved, my teammates got involved. Joe Barry Carroll was telling me to shoot every time I got it, and that never happened. So I knew I was doing something right. So it just all came together. I mean, it was like a quiet storm, and it was great for the Bay Area has always had the best fans in the league. They're not bandwagon fans because when I was there, we weren't, you know, the way the Golden State Warriors are today. So the fans were very supportive. Whether we were losing by 14 or winning by 14, they would be screaming just as loud supporting us. So having the fans behind me during that time, and it was just an amazing moment. And I am still shocked that that record is still there with the Allen Iversons and Kobe Bryant's and Kevin Durant and all amazing offensive players that have come through since that time, that record is still standing. I am shocked with that.
It's shocking. You're right. When you mention these other names that have followed you in the NBA, and there's some true greats. I mean, even Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and other two guys you would think, but you know, I was at home watching that game on TV and I was screaming, and granted I was a kid. You could feel the energy from the TV screen. And it just, there was nothing else like it. I've never seen anything else to this day come close to that. I took pride in the fact that you prevented the sweep, because you're right, that Lakers team was a great team. They won the title that year. And there were great players on your team as well. Chris Mullin, your teammate, became a Hall of Famer. Your coach, George Karl, was just inducted into the Hall of Fame. I saw, you know, I don't know, a lot of people don't talk about this, but the previous round that year, I believe you knocked out the Utah Jazz, yes, which was an upset in and of itself. And I just saw this clip. I don't know how I missed this, but you guys got in this huge brawl at the end of one of the games. Do you mind talking about that for a second? Just because if people find that clip, that was like Indiana Pacers, Ron Artest melee type fighting. Like there was like fans getting involved. Describe that chaos, please.
Yeah, so it's kind of the same scenario that Michael Cooper was talking about. They were the favorites to win that series. With Karl Malone, and at the time they had a point guard by the name of Ricky Green, who was an amazing player. John Stockton came off the bench at that time.
Wow.
And they were winning. They were up 2-0, and they were talking trash at the end of that game, and we got in a big fight, and that really turned the series. That fight and the melee, and it really was started out between Larry Smith, Mr. Mean, and Karl Malone. You know, no one messed with Mr. Mean. You knew that around the league. So yes, he challenged the wrong guy. And we backed him up on that. And when we went back to Golden State and won those two games, the fifth game was up back in Utah. And we destroyed them that fifth game. It wasn't even a contest because our confidence, once we went back home and realized that, you know, we're just as good as the Utah Jazz or even better, and we hadn't played that way up in Utah. So we had no doubt once we went back to Utah for that fifth game that we were going to win that series.
Oh, and you did. And you did. Sleepy, I can't begin to thank you for taking the time out. Before I let you go, is there any, what are you doing these days? I mean, your playing career was phenomenal. I know you didn't get to the Hall of Fame, but it doesn't take away from your greatness, in my humble opinion. You know, what is Sleepy Floyd doing now besides going to Carolina Panthers games?
Well, I'm in real estate here, commercial and residential. I'm actually at work now. So we do mixed use development, huge projects on the East Coast. We're based here in Charlotte. We have offices in Atlanta. We're in Raleigh-Durham area, which is North Carolina, Nashville. So we do residential, commercial, medical office buildings. We've been around for a long time. So my passion there is real estate and just changing people's lives and giving them opportunities to move into some amazing places and doing some amazing developments. And it's Pappas Properties, PAPPAS Properties.
It's a very lucrative sector to get into, sir. So I hope you're successful. I'm sure you are. But you know, it's, I geek out on this, man. I could talk to you all day. I know I don't want to take up your time anymore, but thank you. I really hope you come to the Bay Area more often, just because there are a lot of fans here that still remember your success playing for the Golden State Warriors. I certainly do. And I just hope you come out here more often, man. But
no, thank you for reaching out, and I look forward to coming back on your show anytime. And
thank you, sir.
And go Warriors. We're looking for them to repeat. How about that?
Well, yeah. Do you mind if I finish up on that note? So sorry to drag this out just a minute longer. Do you watch basketball much these days? And if yes,
oh my gosh.
Okay. What is your thought about your former team? Like, the Warriors are going for a repeat. Your thoughts?
I think they have a great opportunity. They got great leaders on the team, and Steph and Draymond and Clay. They have some amazing young talent. Obviously, they got the front office. That's an amazing front office. I still have a great relationship with everyone there. And they got so many classy players on that team. That's why I root for them. The character of that team, they're so philanthropic. They're businessmen, family men. So the Bay Area, they have the perfect team to root for now. And not only Golden State, I just think the entire NBA, they do such an amazing job around the world, changing people's lives, making a difference. Socially conscious, just giving people opportunities all around the world. So I'm very proud to say I played in the NBA for as long as I did. Proud to say I played with the Golden State Warriors. And just, you know, happy that I had that opportunity. I was blessed, truly blessed.
Yes, sir. And the feeling is mutual from the fan base and the community here as well, sir. And the Warriors from Japan. On tomorrow's show, Kylan Mills joins me. We'll talk about the first preseason game. Sleepy, thank you, sir. I can't thank you enough, man. This was a pleasure for me, and I hope for the audience as well.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sleepy. Take care, everyone.
Thank you.